This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, hot. And no relief in sight. I don't see any rain coming. I don't see anything coming to save us.
Well, okay. Here's something then. Christmas is 5 months away.
Okay. I mean, you're already thinking about that.
Well, I thought, we could maybe transport our brains into, a cooler time of year, or, maybe that might help a little bit, but maybe it just made it worse.
Did you know they're actually on Hallmark? They're doing Christmas in July.
Yes.
Which, I don't watch anything for Christmas in July.
Yeah.
But they're doing that. The turkey company that I've talked about before, Cajun Turkey Company, yesterday had a 12-hour sale and marked 50% off of everything.
Really?
And, you had two choices. You could pick everything out, pick it up this week, or you could save it for Christmas, and you go ahead and order it now, and then they'll have it ready for you when you need it, and you've saved 50%.
Did you do it?
I did it, and I did it where I'm just going to pick up now, because I just bought things that would work now. But can you imagine 50% off?
Wow, that's huge. That's a big drop.
It was a big drop, and I bought things like stuffed chicken, with Louisiana food stuffed in it, like jambalaya stuffed in it.
Oh.
I bought something else. Crab meat.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. And things like that. And they have all these other things that has either crawfish etouffee. I got gumbo, things that are just, delightful.
Wow.
And saving 50%. Wow.
You love that place. I remember you, what was it, Thanksgiving, I think last
year?
Yes. Boy,
we ordered the whole thing from Cajun Turkey. And, they ship all over everywhere. They ship everywhere in the United States. They just pack it with dry ice if people need it shipped. But can you imagine? They have all the vegetables. They have desserts. Any kind of meat you can think of. And some of it's got jalapeno stuffed with it. Then they had jalapeno stuffed with crawfish, with shrimp. I mean, they've got some delightful things.
Oh, my goodness, that sounds delicious. I can't believe you found it. How did you know it was 50% off? Did they tell you? Did you hear?
They sent an email because I bought those things last year. So they sent me an email and said, it's a 12-hour sale. I looked up everything I thought I would like and just purchased it. Told them I'd pick it up yesterday, and that's what I did.
Oh, that sounds so delicious. I can't believe it was 50%.
I think it will be.
I got to sign up because you were so impressed with it at Thanksgiving, and I meant to go, and I looked at their website, and then I kind of got busy, and I forgot to go back, and I really need to sign up because I would have loved to got that that deal. And you say that place is just
amazing.
Yeah,
and they would have just shipped it right to you.
I know.
And they, 50% off on stuffed turkey, stuffed chicken, stuffed everything. And it was just wonderful. And so I ordered a lot. Everything I could think of that I thought I'd like.
Ordered a lot.
and another lady told me that the carrot casserole is one of the best in town. She said she ordered two of those.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, they have the cornbread that's stuffed with shrimp and different things. They've just got so many things. And the hams have this wonderful bourbon sauce over them.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And the pork chops were stuffed with crawfish.
I've never had crawfish stuffed pork chops. That sounds amazing.
I think it will be. Now, I'd never had those before, but I ordered them, and they sounded wonderful to me.
So you just got in there and ordered like five of everything.
Yeah, whatever I could think of that I really wanted. And I love crab meat, all kinds of crawfish.
Oh.
And the gumbo, oh my gosh.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I got to go in and sign up. Because I'm going
to. Yeah, these Louisiana people know how to do this.
What is this? It's
the Cajun. It's not like you and I cooking it.
Oh, no.
Cajun Turkey Company. Cajun Turkey Company.
Okay. I'm going to Google that here in a little bit. Because I really. I forgot. I forgot how great you said it was at Thanksgiving,
and now
these random pop up deals like 50% off. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
And can you imagine what your meal's going to cost? Very little.
I know it. Wow. And did you say that they are taking orders now for the holidays, or did I misunderstand?
Yes. If you'd got on this sale yesterday, or the day before, whatever day I did it, they said you could order now. For the holidays at the 50% off, and they'll deliver it on the holidays, even though you didn't pay the regular price.
Wow.
Yeah. So a person had the choice of buying something now, bringing it home, or just paying for it in advance for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And it's all done. And then you just show them your receipt at Thanksgiving or Christmas, and you've got it. They'll be made fresh.
Now, I know they deliver to, like, anywhere. They'll ship it. But you're close by to, like, an actual place. So, Thanksgiving last year, you just drove up and they put it in the car, right?
That's exactly what they do. It's so easy. You get in line. You've got your little receipt there. They just walk in there, go to their deep freezes, and your order's already ready. It's already boxed. And they just bring it out to the car.
Wow. Oh,
isn't that a neat thing?
That is really cool. That sounds so good too.
And you and I couldn't stuff a turkey or a chicken and do this good of a job. I can tell you.
No.
I mean, we might end up in trouble. But they had jalapeno stuffed. Oh my gosh, everything in the world.
Wow, that sounds absolutely amazing. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm almost afraid to ask, but with that being like, was that like the highlight of the week, or was there any kind of?
Yeah, that was the highlight because I was trying to stay out of the heat. It's so terrific.
So you went online
shopping. But we did manage to get some work done this week. I know you probably think I did.
I was wondering.
I was just playing around. But we went back and looked to see how many maturities we've had. Now, this will shock you. Since 2018, we've had 107,899,868.16.
Whoa.
107 million. Now then, we went back from the time we started doing these. It's $198 million.
Are you serious? Really?
Yes. We've had that many maturities in all these years. 198 million total.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
I had no idea it was that much.
Well, and we probably wouldn't have went and looked it up, but we were filing some new papers, and that was one of the questions they asked. They said, have you had any maturities? I guarantee that's what it said. Have you had any maturities? And we said, well, we better look up and see what the total is. And so we added it up, and we were in shock. since 2018, 107 million. And if you go back to 14, it's $198 million.
Wow. Almost yes. $200 million in maturities.
Right at it, yes.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, there was some years it wasn't as good as others. And then some years that it really made up for it. We had a tremendous amount of maturities. People got paid a lot of money. And I was in shock. And we're behind on contracts. Everybody's calling me. We got the Stevens out. You know, we had two policies that we did on Mr. Stevens. And we just got those finished this week, got them out. I think one policy had maybe 30 people in it, and I think the other maybe had 20. Hmm. So those are everybody's got them now. They can get those back to us. Do e-signature if you want to be fast. And now Bidner, we hope by Monday to have all the Bidners out. It's a huge policy. That's that one that we bought that was $5 million.
Ooh.
And we've been behind. We had so many to get out. And people called this week and said, Faye, we have never got our contract. And I said, I know it. I said, we are behind. We should have those out by Monday.
Well,
and have everybody signed it, we'll be almost caught up.
Should have just told them you're a little behind on contract because you were busy buying food.
There you go. I was over here at Cajun Turkey doing my thing.
But, yeah. Wow. That's amazing. But, I mean, I just can't believe $200 million in maturities since 2014.
That's right. $200 million. That's
blown away. It's one of those numbers I almost can't even fathom, so... That's cool. And then the Bidner policy almost filled, so great.
Yes, it's almost filled. We should have it not filled, but all the contracts out.
Yeah,
contracts should be out by Monday, and we'll be almost caught up. Then there's just some small ones. But the two big ones was the problem, getting all those out, and we're just almost through. And I think by Monday, everybody should have their contract on Bidner. And then it'll be quick after that, because that's the only big ones we had that we were so far behind on.
And
so
that was
we're almost caught up.
That one was a $5 million, you said, right?
Yes, it was $5 million. That's why there's so many people we've got to get contracts out to.
Okay.
So, as I said, I think we'll have them all done by Monday.
Good deal.
Because everybody's working hard on them.
Well, boy,
and
that...
of course, see, we do them here in Dallas. Then it goes to Claudia, and then Claudia takes them and sends them all out to the customers, and then gets them back, and then files all those papers. Hmm.
It's a bit of a process, but it is pretty quick.
It is pretty quick once we get on it.
Yeah,
we did 22 contracts in one day this week.
Good Lord, really?
Yeah, 22 in one day.
Well, that's a lot.
That is a tremendous amount for one day.
Is the new, and I don't know if these are even related or not. I'm guessing probably not. But is the new system, one, online, and two, would that have anything to do, or will it have anything to do at some point?
It will have something to do, yes.
Okay.
It should be a lot quicker. No, Oracle does not have everything done. You know, Oracle is so big. They've got us talking to people in South America.
Really?
Well, the people in South America that are handling our account, I don't think they understand exactly what we're saying sometimes. We're trying to get finished, and we're close, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong this week. And in 3 days later, they finally called back and said, we've located the problem. We're working on it.
Oh, okay.
So we may eventually get this done. But, you know, everybody is so big, you know, when you're using software engineers and they're in South America, it's a little difficult.
Yeah. And I would imagine software engineering is probably because you can't see it. You know, if you're like, you know, at the house and you have a hole in the wall, you can see the drywall. You can go patch it. You can paint. You can actually see it, touch it, and do something about it. But I would imagine with, you know, like software implementation, I would imagine it's one of those things that you can't see it. It's somewhere in a computer. You can't really get to it. You have to. I would imagine it's probably tricky and probably a complicated process. Way above my.
I think it is very complicated. And then, you know, our Vonage accounts on all of our phones, you know, a week ago, that all went down.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
They said it was an international problem. And, of course, I couldn't get anything to work. You know, the computers all went down, and they said it's an international problem, that everything went down all over the world. I go, well, you know, this is 2023. What in the heck are we doing? You know, I mean, I wondered about that. I go, how can everything all over the world go down at one time?
Yeah.
But that's what they swore happened.
Wow. A global outage. That's huge. Jeez.
That's what they said.
All right. Well, but they got it fixed, and everything is back to normal.
Yeah, everything's back to normal. The computers are working again. It looks like everything's back up.
You know, technology is great, and it's wonderful. It makes our lives so much easier and so much faster. But, boy, when it goes down, everything comes to a halt.
That's right. I mean, then we got to go back and use a pen and pencil.
Yeah.
And people are not prepared for that, let me tell you.
No.
You know, everything is online. Everything's quick, easy. You look up everything in 2 minutes. Anywhere in the globe, you can look it up. And then suddenly, you can't do anything.
I know it.
You know, you couldn't send an email. You couldn't send a fax. And, you know, every company uses technology. I don't think there's any mom-and-pop deals left.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean,
yeah, it's just too complicated.
Everything I do is all online. I take notes, you know, online, and everything is all cloud-based. I've got backups because I'm so paranoid that the cloud is going to go down or the internet's going to malfunction. I have backups of backups, and then I have backups of backups of backups, but they're all online.
See, that's it. So it's all online, so it can still all go down.
Yeah, it doesn't really do me much good.
No, I mean, all those backups, if it goes down, it's down.
Yeah, I'm still out.
Because all of our stuff is in the cloud. But like you say, if it goes down, you can't get to the cloud, by the way.
Yeah. So when are they going to have that on, ready to go? Because I know it's been quite a process.
They say they're very, very close. They're very, very close.
All right. Well, then we'll take very, very close.
We're going to see how that works out.
All right. What about new policies, things like that? I know you're always looking at new policies and, you know, bidding, and how's everything on that front?
Yes, we've got a whole bunch of bids out right now. We did two breast cancer policies this last week. We're looking at another one. As you know, we have had very good luck with those. The ones we've done, it was advanced breast cancer every time. And if it's advanced breast cancer, it's really a good policy because, you know, it's in the spine, it's in the ribs, you know, it's in the liver. And, you know, you just don't have much of a chance. And we've only had one that had been to Mexico. That one sold out probably in an hour.
Oh, wow.
Everybody went in that thing so fast. The first people we presented to, they took it all. Because we all know that the ones that go to Mexico, those are the ones that just don't make it. I mean, there's not even, you don't even talk about it. You know that if you've been to Mexico, you've wasted all that time.
Yeah.
So it makes a big difference. We're bidding on some other policies. We don't know if we're going to get them, but we're certainly bidding on them. And so we'll let everybody know this next week, you know, what we have available, what you can go in, what the minimum is. As you know, for a life settlement, you must be accredited, and that means you must make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your home. And the minimum is $100,000 if you want to invest in any policies. And everybody says, Faye, why do you have to have all this? Because the government says so. The government says you will not invest in this particular investment unless you are accredited. They don't want anybody investing that is worth $50,000 or so. You've got to, you know, not need the money is what they're saying.
You know,
so that's the type of people we have. We have all accredited people. They come from all walks of life. Lots of times it's IRAs. Sometimes they own a business and they're retiring. They're selling it. They'll come with 300,000 or 500,000. Sometimes it's stock, and they cash the stock in and put it in these investments, and it pays like 1% a month. So if you're going to go in a policy, if it's 28 months, you're going to make 28%. And it doesn't matter if it's early, it's still 28. If it's late, it's 28, or if it's on time. That's already a foregone conclusion when we started. So people need to know that. And then the checks are always made to the bank. Most of our clients know that. They cannot make a check to us. It has to go to Nevada Trust, who is the trustee on these policies. They handle the money. If premiums come due, they send it in. And when the person passes away, they get the certified death certificate. And then the insurance company sends it to the bank. And then we give the bank a list of everybody that's in that policy and how much money they have coming, what they have profit, and what their principal is. And so then they put it in everybody's account, which, you know, that's the best way to do business. Always use a trustee. Don't do it yourself. When we started years ago, we said, we want a trustee to handle all the money. That's why we've been in business so long, because we never touch it, and that way the trustee is responsible. And, you know, we would have to have 100 employees if we didn't use a trustee, because they do all the back-end things for us. They do all the accounting on everybody's policy, and they're responsible for all the money, and that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah. Not only do they do a lot, but it's also great for, you know, protection as well, security measures, stuff like that. You
yes.
brought up a point a minute ago that I think is probably really important, especially for new investors. You were saying that, you know, even if, say you have a 28-month policy, even if it comes in early, people still get 28%. So say it came in, you know, in 14, it's not that their profit would never get cut in half. They still get the full, they just get it earlier. And I think that's really important, especially to, you know, to new investors who come in, maybe not really used to life settlements, not really used to how it works, things like that. So to understand that you can invest in a policy, and if it comes in early, it means you get the same amount that you would normally get. You just get your return faster, which means you can turn around and reinvest it in another policy faster. So it's kind
That's
of a big
exactly
deal.
That's exactly right. So you get your whatever we told you up front, the interest is you get it. It doesn't matter what happens. Like you said, if it's early, you're still going to get the same amount of interest. If it's on time, the same amount. Or if it's late, you're still going to get your interest. And you're always going to get your principal. So that's why investing in a life insurance policy, I think, is, you know, is a very safe investment, because a lot of people can invest in things that go up or they go down, they go sideways. But remember, when we invest your money in a life insurance policy, you know you'll always get paid, because it's not us paying, it's the life insurance company. And the life insurance companies are worth so much money. We've never had one of them not pay. And, you know, they're worth billions and billions of dollars. So, and they put up reserves. A lot of people don't know that. They must put up reserves on every policy they write to be sure they always have the money to pay their claims. And most of them could pay claims twice if they had to. They are so wealthy. They've got so much money.
Really?
They're worth like $50 billion, $60 billion, $100 billion.
Jeez.
You know, they're just worth all kinds of money. And there's some smaller companies worth $2 billion. But, you know, $1 billion is still $1 billion.
Yeah. It's a lot of zeros.
It's a lot of zeros, a lot of money. You could pay out a lot of claims if you were only worth $1 billion. And all the companies that we use, we check them every time to see if they're A-rated, A-plus rated. And we only use one B-rated company. And that's Genworth, because they're worth $2 billion.
Yeah, they have the resources to back it up.
They have the resources. A long time ago, we wouldn't use Genworth. And our lawyer said, yes, Genworth's okay. They said that $2 billion is always available, and they're owned by a different company that's worth even more.
Cool.
So other than that, we do not do any B-rated paper. But when we do a policy, you know, you can be assured that we've checked it every way in the world. When our providers bring us these policies, they send us the medical along with it. So we're looking at all the medical from the doctor. We're looking at all the tests that's been run. And then we've got the final report from the doctor saying, you know, how sick they are, what all they've done, what all they've found. So that's real important to know, that we have the medical, not just a life expectancy from a company.
You do have a lot of data, a lot of information. It's a very well-informed investment. And I'm going to ask you this because I want you to speak for just a second about availability, especially for new investors that are thinking about getting into life settlements. I know people, you know, have listened to you for a long time and they've been thinking about it. And sometimes they'll come to you and say, oh, yeah, I've been listening to you for a long time. And now all of a sudden, you know, we're just finally now getting around to doing it. For availability of policies, not only do you go through them 9 ways to Sunday, and so you, by the time you get the policies out for people to potentially bid on, you've already reviewed them. But there's a lot more that you review that you don't even bid on, that people never ever see. How many on an average week would you guess you actually review? Not the ones that you actually bid on, but how many do you think you review in an average week, do you think?
Probably 6 or 7.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah, because lots of times we'll get one, they'll say, it doesn't meet your regular criteria, but we thought we'd send it anyway. And we look down, they're 80 years old, and we say, you know, we do not touch seniors. We love them, but we're not buying their policies because they're going to outlive us all. They're not sick. And then we get the ones that they say, oh, yes, he is still playing golf. If they're playing golf, they're not sick.
Yeah,
we want somebody that is in full treatment at this time. We don't want somebody that's in remission, and we don't want somebody that they say, we can't find it. Or, you know, we think we got it all. If they think they got it all, we don't want to talk to them. I want the one that is in the middle of the cancer treatment, that they're doing the cancer treatment, and they say, okay, we've done all this, but now it showed up in some other places. That's one thing about breast cancer. You start with the breast, and then they think 2 years later it's okay. Then when it comes back 2 years later, it is advanced to the liver, the uterus. There's 15 lymph nodes it's in, and then it's in the spine and the rib. When you see all that, you can give up. Mm. You know, you're not going to survive that. So those are the ones we like to buy immediately. So we want to be sure it's serious, that they're not saying, oh, then go back to work. Mm. If you can go back to work, it's not very sick.
Yeah. So not only are you reviewing like data and numbers, but you're also looking at their lifestyle as well. And you're only bidding on stage 4, right? Unless that has changed.
That's right. There's one stage 3. There's one cancer that is not like the others. It only goes to 3. But all other policies has to be stage 4. If it's not stage 4, if it's stage 2, they're a long way off from dying. You know, they might outlive me. But if it's stage 4, it's serious, and they're taking it serious, and so are we. And lots of times they want to settle the estate because they know they're not going to be here, and they want to get this policy to the family. And so they want to get paid up front, which is what we do. Then there's some that needs it for the treatment because cancer is very expensive. It's $100,000 a month if you're doing cancer treatment. Mm. And, you know, this last year we did 2 esophagus, and esophagus cancer is deadly serious.
Oh, wow.
Most people don't know they've got it till it's almost too late. And both of those did not live long. So, you know, it depends what kind they've got. And usually it'll go all over the body before it goes to the brain. And then they'll check and, you know, say, okay, we better check it. And then they'll find it on top of the other.
Mm. Wow.
So, you know, it is deadly. Everybody thinks it's going to be cured, and it may be, but not right now. So the ones we've got are serious.
for, because I know that when you have investors, okay, so when, let me back up a little bit. When you get a policy, when you, you bid on the policy, say you get it, how do you disperse that between new investors, existing investors? How does that end up in people's email? Like who, how does it work, I guess?
Okay, are you talking about when we're sending it out to put money in?
Yeah, how do you fill it? How do you decide who goes into
a policy?
Okay,
okay. Well, we have a group of people, as you know, several hundred people that invest with us all the time. And we have some people that like real short. So if it's a short, short one, we're going to go to them first. We have some people that have, you know, if it's 28 or 30 months, they like it. And then some say, okay, if it's colon cancer, I want it. And some say if it's prostate cancer. Different people like to invest in different policies. So, you know, you don't know for sure, but you think you know. And then we had a policy mature the other day, and I knew that all those people had just been invested in a breast cancer. So I said, I know that they saw how quickly that one came in. Let's put them in that again. And we did. So we know our customers, and I had a gentleman the other day that hadn't invested with us for quite a while, and I thought he might be through investing. And they sent him a notice on this last policy, and he called me immediately. I said, Faith, what do you think about it? It's 16 months. Do you think it's going to mature okay? And I said, yes. I said, and I read him everything about the man, and he went ahead and did it. But he had not invested in a long time because he'd had a sick wife and he'd been taking care of her. So he had just put it aside, and, you know, he has policies, but he wasn't taking on any new ones. And now everything's turned around and he is taking on new ones. So, you know, different people have different things happen to them.
Wow. And you just know, when people have certain types of policies that they like to get into, do they decide that? Is that something they kind of go in with, you know, hey, I'm a new investor, I want to get in these types? Or is it something that they kind of develop over time, getting in different types of policies that hone it?
New people are different. If you have new people, you send it to them and they may say no, and you know that they don't know what they're doing yet. So you call them and say, okay, now, you turn down this first policy. Let me go over it with you. And then they go, oh, okay. Because they have not learned how to read them, the information they got. You know, you've got to scrutinize that and read it and see what it's telling you.
And that's normal.
And that's the normal way. Everybody reads the life expectancy. They go over it. If they have questions, they call me. And some of them just know which kind it is. They like it. They see all the different things, and they just say, yes, I'm in.
Okay. All right.
And when we did those two big policies, people would call almost immediately and say, yes, I'm in. Put me in. And then we ran out of space. We didn't get everybody in that wanted in. And that doesn't happen very often because usually we just take this many that we know would like it, and we do it. But sometimes we'll say, okay, let's do it this way. And we may have two that say no. There might be a couple say, no, I don't like that policy. I don't want to do it. So then we go to the next one that's in line.
Okay, so then when new investors come over, and until they kind of get used to the process, getting used to, you know, reading the information and all that, they don't need to feel pressure about having to understand it right off the bat. If they have questions, you'll walk them through it. And then over time, they kind of get used to it. They understand what they're looking for. They understand what they're reading. And then they kind of go on their own and they can kind of read it and decide where to go from there, right?
That's right.
All right.
But they may need help to start with. And a lot of people have been listening to us for years. And when they come over, they know what works. They know what to look for. And they'll go, look, I've been listening to you for 2 or 3 years. I know how it works. I know what I want to do, and here's how much I'm going to give you.
All right. And then on the other end of the scale, you've got some investors who've been with you for a number of years who I would guess, I think you've said this before, correct me if I'm wrong, but just the fact that you send it to them, a lot of times they don't even read them. They just know that you've already gone through it. And since they've had so many successful policies in the past, they know that if it shows up, it's good. And they'll just say, okay, yes, put me in without even reading it, right? You have some of those.
I have some that trust us. They've done business with us so long, they'll say, well, Faye, if you bought it and you like it, I'll do it. So I have quite a few that way. You know, and you get to know what a person likes and don't like. I've had some people come to me and say, I'm not doing anything but short. I go, okay. I mean, you know, and different people like different types of policies. So you just kind of go with what they want.
Hmm. Okay. Everybody's just kind of got something a little bit different that they like, and they can have their own preferences. Bottom line is, any policy that comes across, it's going to do well. So, you know, if they just want short ones, they can have them. If they want medium ones, they can have them. If they want certain types, they can have them. It's just I think the thing to take away from this segment is that you do know your investors by name. People are not just a number. You don't just, you know, print out a spreadsheet and people fall into a certain column. You actually know them. You, in some cases, ones that have been with you for a long time, you know a lot about, you know, their personal lives and their families, and I would say that you would consider some of them to be actual friends, right? I mean, you've developed
That's
friendships.
Right. And another funny thing is they know when I'm in Midland, and because they know that gray navigator. And they say that gray navigator, they say, Faye's at the office.
And they just pop in to visitate.
They do. And that's the truth. They really do. They'll be driving down the street. Oh, we see Faye. We'll just pull in. So you know, they'll just come by.
Neat. That's really, really great. That's something you don't see that kind of thing very often these days. This is Your
no,
Money with Faye.
Only I'm sorry. Small town.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, customer service is long gone. Friendships are long gone. So it's nice. It's very refreshing this way. It's very, very cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about prickly pears.
Ooh.
Now, yeah, how many varieties of prickly pear do you think there are in Texas?
Okay, I'm pretty sure this is going to be more than three. I'm going to say 12.
100 varieties.
Wow.
The prickly pear goes back a long, long way. And, you know, we have all this desert, Texas, so you know we've got thousands and thousands of prickly pear. So let me ask you all these questions. Have you ever got close to a prickly pear and noticed there's a small, white, cottony patch on a prickly pear?
No, I have not.
Have you ever got that close? Okay, it's a Dilophus coccus. This is a little insect. It feeds off the moisture and the nutrients in the cactus.
Really?
And if you crush one of those in your finger, it turns an intense red because this little insect produces carminic acid that helps to deter predators.
Oh, wow.
Now, this acid is so famous. This acid has been used since ancient times to make cochineal dye, which in turn has been used over the centuries to dye clothing.
Really?
Yeah. Now, because of the dye, prickly pears became so valuable in the old days, they were actually farmed by the early Mixtec Indians.
Wow.
You believe this? They farmed the prickly pears. And they developed different colors of the dye from this little insect. Well, then the Spaniards arrived in Mexico. They became enamored of this deep red dye. So that clothing with cochineal coloring was shipped to Europe. Then the European demand for cochineal was so strong, they started shipping it to Europe all over. It became second in value only to gold.
Wow.
Yeah, then after 250 years of Spanish domination of the dye, other countries became involved. And soon this dye could be found all over the world. Even today, when people are using all this artificial color and all this, you can still find it in products like lipstick, rouge, cosmetics. You wouldn't even believe that. And this carmine, if it says natural coloring, it's cochineal dye.
Really?
They use it in fruit juices, such as ruby red grapefruit, some brands of strawberry yogurt, punch drinks, and watercolor paints. It's just a natural dye that that little insect produces on the cactus. Can you believe this?
I had no idea.
And it's that famous that the Europeans were using it. The Spanish, 250 years that the Spanish used this dye. Then other countries found out, and pretty soon it was all over the world. And it's just a natural dye that this little insect makes when you squeeze it.
So that's what natural dye is. I thought everything was all just like synthetic and something created in a lab. I didn't realize it was an actual insect.
No, we still have natural dye from this little insect on the cactus plants.
Wow. Cool.
And it became famous. It was worth as second to gold at one time.
Jeez. Isn't it, didn't they at one point, like in ancient history, didn't the only people that had like dyes in their clothing, colorful clothing, were wealthy people?
And well, so, yes, if you could afford to have it colored.
Yeah.
The ones that didn't just wore burlap and wore other things, they were just like it was.
Yeah, just natural colors.
But from ancient time, when they discovered this little insect and started using, I can't even believe that they were that smart back then.
Yeah.
But they were. I mean, they were making different colors out of the dye even.
I can't even.
And then they, just... yeah, the Spaniards, when they arrived in Mexico, they said, well, look at here. And so they started making the clothing with the dye. And then they shipped it to Europe. And the Europeans loved it. And so they were shipping all this to Europe from here. And 250 years of Spanish domination of that dye.
Jeez.
Before other countries ever became involved.
And they have it worth almost the same as gold. Like second to gold.
Yes.
I was just shocked. Jeez.
And of course, the Indians did it first. And they were working to develop different colors of the dye. When the Spaniards arrived, they saw this and they go, well, this is beautiful red dye. Before you knew it, they were shipping it all over the world, and the Europeans loved it, and it became very, very expensive.
Wow. I'm shocked. Not only that it goes that far back, but it was worth that much and that we still use it today.
Yeah, and it's used in lipsticks, rouges, all kinds of cosmetics, and it's a natural dye that won't make anybody sick or, you know, a lot of this cosmetic stuff, you know, it's got everything in the world in it. They're always finding that they got stuff in it they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And you can use it in drinks. You can use it in clothing. Just this little old tiny insect.
Jeez.
And I don't know how they got them all off of there. I guess it's kind of like picking cotton. You very carefully, because of all those spikes, you know, you get the little insects off, and it would take a lot of them to make red.
I guess that's why it has so much value, because it is hard to mine or to...
To mine, yes, it's very hard.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like other things. It wouldn't be that easy. But I was so impressed to think that the Indians and then the Spaniards came here, and when they did, they saw it and said, you know, this is what we need. We're going to use that to make dye. And, of course... you know, they were farming it just like, you know, any other crop.
Yeah.
That may be why in West Texas we have so many cactus. These people, yeah, you know, farmed all that, and now we've got a huge deal of cactus. And there's 100 different kinds of cactus.
Jeez.
Can you imagine that?
I can't even name but like one.
Yeah, hundreds of different ones.
Wow, I'm shocked. I had no idea. I didn't realize that we were still. I think probably the thing that shocks me the most is that we're still using it. you know, even after
yes,
thousands of
years. Yes, you
would
have thought that it would have went by the wayside because it's natural. Everybody wants synthetic nowadays. They don't want anything natural. But they're still using it in makeup and lipstick especially. And they said if you go somewhere and they say natural coloring, you know that it came from there.
Yeah.
If it says natural red or natural coloring, it came from the cactus,
and
from that little insect.
I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they still go through a similar process to get it. I don't know that they've, you know, developed some kind of, I don't know, mechanism or something to get it. So I'm sure it's still a tedious process where it'd probably be much easier and probably more cost efficient, probably more toxic to just create something in a lab. But
oh yeah. But can you imagine strawberry yogurt? Some brands of strawberry yogurt has got this in it.
I'm shocked. And makeup and
yeah.
I mean you can eat
yeah,
it.
Yeah, makeup.
And
punch and then watercolors.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't know how they made watercolors, but to think that some of them have just natural color in it instead of all those chemicals.
Huh. You know, I read ingredients sometimes on items and I see where it says natural color. I've never really thought about what that means or where it comes from, but boy, that just really gives you a whole new perspective and a whole new appreciation for it and the effort
yeah,
and the history.
Yeah, if it says natural red 4.
Natural red 4. I know.
Natural red 4.
I've seen that before. I remember, you know, seeing it in ingredients. Natural red 4. I just didn't know
yeah.
what it meant. Wow.
You didn't know what they were talking about.
No.
But it's used to color many fruit juices, and I don't know how they farm it now. I'd sure like to know, since it's still used in a lot of things, especially makeup. It's great that they're using that natural color in red lipstick rather than all the chemicals.
Yeah. I mean, golly, we're so surrounded by chemicals in everything we do and that we use. And, you know, it's nice to know that we still have some aspects anyway that are using natural things that not only are they safe for like your skin and stuff, but to eat as well. I mean, it's in yogurt and stuff, so.
How many, can you believe that little insect, and we can eat things in our drinks from them.
I know.
So you know that little insect is pure, don't we? Oh, my gosh.
Well, so if you see one, don't just squish it. Get the dye
that's
out
right,
of it.
That's right. The red dye will come right out.
Wow. That is really, really
yeah.
cool. That is really interesting. It's a whole new perspective on a lot of different things. Neat. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So now the quiz for next week is how do they make blue?
Woo!
See, now you've opened up
it'll
a can
probably
of worms.
It's something we don't want to hear about. It's probably made in China. At least so that we know if we're doing this, it's safe because it's right here in West Texas.
Yeah, that's true. I know I think I've seen like natural yellow. I don't know that I've seen many colors. I'm trying to think of ingredients because I read a lot of ingredients to try to get things that, you know, don't have a lot of artificial things in them and synthetic ingredients. But I think I've seen natural yellow. Don't know that I've actually seen natural blue.
I don't
blue.
Know where yellow comes from. It probably comes from flowers.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true, too.
It's probably some flower that makes yellow.
Interesting. It's really kind of neat to think back about, you know, all the colors that people used to put in things. And I mean, it's like back at the very beginning when they first found this insect, how did they even think, you know, geez, hey, we could use this to dye our clothes and we could eat this stuff. And how do you
Can you imagine it was the Indians first.
Yeah.
Then the Spanish came and they were so smart way back then. They were making all this money off of this dye. And then everybody in Europe wanted it, and apparently they sent them some of the color, and they went crazy. And it was, you know, selling like hotcakes in Europe, and it was worth as much as gold. I mean, I just can't imagine. Well, they obviously didn't have natural color over there. They didn't know how to make it. And, you know, it was being made here just all natural.
Yeah. And to think of bug juice is to be a valuable commodity.
Yeah, I mean, this little old bug is furnishing all this beautiful color. And they immediately started trying to make other colors out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were working on other colors. Hmm. I don't know how they were going to do that, but they were experimenting with other colors.
Yeah. I wish we could go back in time and talk to the first guy that squished one of them and said, this is cool. Let's use this.
Yeah, he was out in West Texas and saw all those cactus everywhere. And then they looked down and saw that little insect. Can you imagine? Because I've never even noticed that little insect.
No, me neither.
Now everybody will go out and they'll be looking for that little insect.
I know it. Now that we know it's worth something, we're going to go
find
one.
That's right. You could use it in a lot of things. We know that now.
Oh, wow. Before we wrap up, I do want to ask about annuities. And I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but is that bonus thing still in a...
I think it's till August 1,
okay.
The bonus, a 9% bonus. But, you know, we talk about annuities when we get a chance. It is probably the safest investment on earth. Annuities have been around for over 100 years. You know, if you do annuity, let's say you do annuity, $100,000. And 3 years from now, if you're in a certain policy and you have something really bad happen, you can take all of your money out of it with no penalty.
Really?
And I don't know of any other thing you can do that on. It's locked in once a year, or if you do a two-year spread, it's locked in every 2 years. Annuities cannot go backwards. They're not like stocks. They don't lose value. If you have an index annuity, it has a fixed rate. It has indexes in there that you can invest in. There's 14 different things you can invest in. And it's always safe because it's inside the annuity. And after the first year, you can take 10% a year out. If you 1 year you said, I don't need it, the next year you can take 20% out. But you can set it up where you can take 10% the rest of your life. You can say, I don't need the money now. I want it for my heirs. And so you can set it up. When you pass away, the heirs get it, and they can have lifetime income or take a lump sum. There's a lot of things you can do if you've got an annuity. If you're in the stock market, you've got that risk of a downturn every day of your life where it can lose money. Well, you can invest just like the stock market without the risk by having an annuity. It follows the stock market but never gets involved in it. So, you know, when you make money, it's locked in every year. So you don't have to worry about it losing. It's never going to go down. Your principal is never at risk with an annuity.
Yeah, and that's important. And you have some people that set these up for different things, like education for kids or grandkids and things like that, right?
That's exactly right. I have people that have set up for their college, for every one of their grandchildren. We've done that. And that can take so much a year out for college. I've got people that... They've got one child that would spend all their inheritance in 2 months. So they've set them up with annuities where they have to take so much a month, and that's all they get. They don't get it all lump sum. So there's another thing you can use an annuity for. Let's say you have a big estate and you're worried about estate taxes. You can put money in an annuity, and if you need money fast after somebody's passed away, you can cash an annuity in immediately. Within about 7 days, you can get $100,000, $200,000, whatever you need. So the annuity works about 15 different ways. And then if it's a husband and wife, and you're afraid that when you pass away, somebody will come and talk your wife out of all of her money, you put her in an annuity. Hmm. And they cannot steal her money, I assure you, because that annuity... We'll have a payout, and she'll take monthly payments, and no one can get her money.
Okay.
I love that. I've had some old people that set up annuities for their wives. used to, they would set up a trust at the bank, and they found out that they wouldn't even let them have the money.
Really?
Over here in East Texas, we had an old man. He set up his wife's account, and she needed a new car. They told her, you don't need a new car.
Whoa, really?
And yeah, and she needed several different things. They said, we don't think that's prudent.
Ooh.
And she finally had to sue to get her money out of the bank because they wouldn't let her have it. They thought it was their money. They didn't realize that it's her money and you're just overseeing it.
Ooh.
Whereas this is years ago. Banks have changed since then. But years ago, that's what they did to people. They'd say, we don't think that's prudent, and wouldn't let them get to their money and put them in a bind.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
So the risks with annuities are very, very, very low, if they even exist at all.
Very, very, very small.
What about risks with life settlements? I know there's two that you like to review. So what's the biggest?
That's right. There's always a risk in a life settlement. You could have to pay premiums. That's why you must be accredited, because if it goes over, there'd be some premium due. The premium now is very, very low. In the last 2 years, we quit buying anything that had any premiums that were high at all. All of our premiums now are like 1% less. I don't think I've even done one to 2% lately, which 2%'s okay, not over 2. And so that's your biggest risk. If there's a premium comes due, you have to pay it. The other risk is it's not cash until the policy matures. So if you're needing cash, you'd need to take it out of your regular account with us. But you couldn't take it out of that annuity, that investment until it matures.
Okay. All right. So for people who want to come over, maybe have listened for a long time, maybe are brand new to the whole concept of life settlements, how long would it take to get into a policy, would you say, roughly speaking?
Probably 2 weeks. Ah. Right now it's probably 2 weeks.
Okay. All right, cool. And I assume you have some availability this week to talk to people if they want more information or just want to get started.
Yes, all they have to do is call me, talk to me about it, go over it, tell me what you would like to do. I can tell you if we can do it, how to set it up. If it's an IRA, we can do it. If it's a joint account, we can do it. If it's a stock account and you want to liquidate it, we can do that. We can do almost anything you need.
Cool. All right. So then one last time, Faye, for people to call, make an appointment, get started, talk to you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.